20 past 8. In 1994, I wrote an article in which I stated that the eggshell issues of racial discrimination, bias, prejudice, and stereotyping, until now far too sensitive to discuss openly, needed to become the subject of continuous debates at all levels of the organization. Recent events have made it clear that those eggshell issues are just as sensitive today as they were 26 years ago. Now, this is the opening extracts of an article written recently by Ian Fore. Now, Ian is the founder of the Hatch Institute, also founder of the Sorbet Group. But back in the 90s, Ian was deeply involved with race relations, in fact, with an organization called Labor Link. And those were his observations, which he recalled in this recent article back in the 90s. And those observations, he mentions that they, in fact, still hold water for South Africa in 2020. Why are we still a nation at war with ourselves? Well, I asked him about this when we caught up earlier.
I pulled it out the other day, one of the articles written in 1994, just after the big elections, and it was just remarkable how similar the introduction was to an article that I could have easily written today, and that just shows you that we haven't really made much progress insofar as race relations is concerned in this country.
And why do you think that is? Why have we not been able to confront, as you describe in your article, these eggshell issues?
Yeah, I think that we are not taking it seriously enough. Particularly white people in this country haven't fully acknowledged that this is a real problem. And you know, racial polarization permeates every aspect of society and business and the economy, and most people don't want to acknowledge this, and so they just hope that it'll go away and they sweep it under the carpet. But we do need to address it, and we do need to come to terms with the history of South Africa, the issue of white superiority that has been inculcated into our minds for literally 300 years now, and the impact that that has on people today and their mindsets and their attitudes and what we call the unconscious bias that they have to live with. So it's time for people to acknowledge that what we're dealing with is, you know, historical, and it needs to be redressed. Unfortunately, not everyone acknowledges that, and they resist it, and people don't like to have these uncomfortable conversations. So what I'm trying to do is to promote that, is to promote the conversations, get people to acknowledge the real issues, the systemic racism, and all of the issues of white privilege and white superiority that have so damaged our country for many years now.
You know, you're able to take us through some of the differences. You speak of racial polarization. You spoke there of systemic racism and unconscious bias. Can you take us through those differences?
So before we get there, we need to understand the definitions of three very important words: prejudice, discrimination, and racism. So prejudice is really a prejudgment that one makes about an individual, which is based on the group from which they come. So we make prejudgment because they come from this group or that group or whatever. Discrimination is when we start to act out on our prejudices, when we start to take our prejudices and actually discriminate physically against people and create inequality. And then racism is basically discrimination that comes from a system or an institutionalized legal system that has the power to discriminate legally and institutionally. So if we understand that, we can then say that systemic racism has been with us for many, many years. It's part of the system. It's the way we grow up from the day that we're born, particularly as a white person in South Africa myself. From the day that I was born, I had privilege of one kind or another, without even really knowing it. Because on the other side of the fence, as it were, people had the exact opposite situation. And that was part of a system that was created in order to strengthen the view that whites are superior to blacks, to black people. And this is really something that runs deep in our society and in our mindsets. And we need to shift those paradigms if we're ever going to create any kind of future for this country.
Smile 90.4 FM, Ian Furr joining us in conversation this evening on The Honest Truth. He's the founder of the Hatch Institute and the Sorbet Group. You're welcome certainly to share your thoughts too on the discussion on 0829 904 904. Ian, you also talk about businesses and brands in your article skirting the issue of systemic racism. In what way are organizations doing this, and what's it doing to employees, customers, and brand reputations?
So, unfortunately, if you're not dealing with issues of racial discrimination and stereotyping and all this polarization, you can't really build a culture in the company that is going to support you in terms of your customer service, your branding, because people are not focused on customers when they feel that they've been mistreated or they are not treated with dignity and respect, they're not trusted, they're not valued in the business. So there are lots of things that start to undermine the culture of the organization because the management has not addressed the real issues that separate us in South Africa and create the polarization in the first place. So, you know, the adverts that come through, racist adverts that slip through, it's not so much the company there, it's more the individual mindsets, the unconscious bias, what we call unconscious bias, which means that I'm biased, I discriminate, and I might be racist, but I don't acknowledge it, and I don't even know that I'm doing it. And so people wouldn't even know that the advert that they put through was racist in any way. And so they just go ahead and think it's normal. And so, of course, what happens when you have that sort of thing, because of the white superiority, and the black inferiority, you have a situation where white is considered normal and the black people are considered some sort of deviation from the norm. So if you don't recognize that in business, it's virtually impossible to build, particularly in South Africa at this time, to build a culture that will create a platform from which you can go out there and serve to the best of your ability and look after your customers and build your brand. You need to first get home base sorted out, and then you can build your culture after that.
Ian, what role does the social media play in the current environment, very different to when you made those earlier observations in the early 90s? What role does social media play today? Does it entrench, in fact, that polarization that we're seeing?
I think it does, very sadly. You know, social media has the ability to destroy a lot of things that we're trying to build in this country, because it does enhance racial polarization as far as I'm concerned. And there should be a much stronger movement towards breaking it down. You know, I think one of the real issues in South Africa right now is a state of hopelessness. The people are losing hope in our future. Businesses are losing hope in terms of the economy. People who are employed are worried and losing hope about future employment. And, of course, all the millions of unemployed people have no hope at all. So we need to change the narrative from a state of hopelessness and negativity to a more positive and hopeful state of mind. You cannot change a country overnight, but you can start to individually change the attitudes and the mindsets of people. And you can free them of these negative thoughts and the past unconscious biases that they have, so that we can start to create a narrative where people start to understand, accept, respect, and tolerate each other. And at the same time, hopefully, we can start to change it from hopelessness to hopeful about the future in this country.
How do we do that, Ian? How do we, as you describe, shift the paradigm, change the narrative, or as you say, sort out home base? Perhaps we could use what you've done to establish a diverse culture at Sorbet, for example, as a case study.
Correct. So we made sure that we sort of navigated the racial polarization of South Africa when I started Sorbet. Because I'd been involved in race relations all my life, when I started Sorbet, I had a plan right from the beginning of how we were going to build that culture. And we made sure that there was dignity, respect, people felt a sense of belonging. We openly discussed issues of race, and I did all the induction training myself for all of the 3,000 people that worked at Sorbet. And I trained them on the issues, and I made sure that everybody got the opportunity to understand our history, our past, and how we were supposed to now come together, create a sense of belonging, show respect and trust and dignity. And so if you do that, then all of a sudden it's much easier to get people to focus on customer service, which is what we ultimately did at Sorbet, and which helped us to create the largest beauty salon chain in the whole of Africa.
It couldn't have been easy, though. I mean, just looking at how we as a society are still struggling to deal with these eggshell issues, how did you manage to change that particular outlook that we all are socialized with?
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of having the courage to have the conversations in the meantime, you know.
Yeah.
In the first place, you need to be able to speak to people and to share ideas and thoughts. I now run race relation courses for companies where people come on a virtual webinar sort of course type thing, and people talk to each other and they challenge each other and they talk about all the uncomfortable conversations of white privilege and black economic empowerment. So it's just about self-awareness, really. People are so oblivious, particularly white people, as to the real history of South Africa and what has happened in our country. And so the more we can educate people, we can sensitize them, we can get them to realize the extent of the problem, hopefully then they will acknowledge that our past has really created our present, and hopefully start moving forward in a more constructive and positive manner.
Those race relations courses that you refer to, Ian, is that the focus of the Hatch Institute?
And yes, that's correct. It's one of the things. At Hatch, we focus on culture specifically, all the people side of business. We focus on, we coach and we consult in those areas. But I have a particular focus and interest on race relations because I believe that it has an enormous role to play in creating the right business culture and the right environment in South Africa. Now, there's hardly a thing in this country that is not touched by race. Whether it's, you know, as I said earlier, whether it's in the social life, in economic life, in sport, race is our curse in South Africa. And so until such time as we can get people to acknowledge the problem and to start working on it and talking to each other and accepting and respecting our differences, I think that the inequality gap will just perpetuate and probably even get worse. And then the future becomes too ghastly to even contemplate.
Do you see business taking a leading role in this, or should they take a leading role in this?
Absolutely. Business must take a leading role. They are the ones who have the power to create the environments in which we can start to shift the mindsets. But they have to first themselves understand it and believe it. You cannot transform a company if you're not able to transform yourself. So you first have to understand exactly what the issues are, and then you can, you know, work out a plan on how to deal with it. But people have to challenge themselves. And so one of the things we do is we do life coaching about issues like this and get people to recognize their own biases and what they have to do to overcome them. So we have a course called Understanding and Overcoming Racial Bias, for example, that people can attend in order to address their own self-awareness and go on a bit of a journey of self-discovery.
How can our listeners find out more information from the Hatch Institute, Ian?
Okay, so you can go to the website, it's hatchinstitute.co.za, or you can write to info@hatchinstitute.co.za.
Ian Furr, founder of the Hatch Institute and the Sorbet Group, appreciate your time and your insights, Ian. Thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. And say hi to all the listeners out there.